This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents. So many villains, too little time. We go immediately to elections, however. The positive is that Israel's holding another election, and it can. The less than positive is that Palestinians say they're holding another election, but the last one was somewhere in the 17th century. Malcolm, let's begin with the Israeli elections. Right. As I understand it, this is Groundhog Day. Is there exhaustion in Israel? Is there a way out of this quandary?
Increasingly, the opportunities of a way out without another election, that would be the fifth in 28 years, appears unlikely. There was a vote in the Knesset which went against the prime minister, and he sort of acknowledged that they would go into the opposition because they have not been able to form a coalition, which means getting together different parties and having 61-vote majority within the Knesset. Now the other parties are seeing whether they can cobble something together. But the loss in terms of this arrangements committee, which sets the agenda in the Knesset, the parliament, was really a blow to Netanyahu. He proposed a direct election of the prime minister as a way out of this, that to have a separate election just for the prime minister, but that was essentially rejected. And I don't think he has many options left, and he so informed the president. And now we'll have to see in the next days whether anybody else can form it. The Knesset can take, the president can go to the Knesset and ask them to try and work their magic themselves. And if not, in September, probably another election.
The Palestinian election, Malcolm, there have been doubts. Is it going forward?
That's exactly the right description. It's in doubt. Abbas is very much afraid of a Hamas victory. I know the United States shares that concern, as does Israel. Everybody's encouraging him to go ahead, but Abbas, who says that he wants to but is under pressure from the U.S., the U.S. told him not to say that because they did not tell him not to do it. He is looking for excuses to avoid an election, and one might be the question of having Palestinians who live in East Jerusalem to vote, or in Jerusalem to vote in the election. Israel let them last time, but they now with the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it's still a question. Netanyahu has not answered it. There are even Hamas's leadership are saying that they must include Jerusalem and raise questions about going ahead. There's nobody who has emerged as a real challenge to Abbas, anybody who's been able to coalesce the power to challenge him seriously, but there isn't support for him. And they're pressing on the issue right now to get some sort of a position, whether to have democratic elections, which the United States really supports, but says it's a Palestinian decision. We know that key advisors of Abbas have raised the possibility of postponement for the first time publicly, but of course they want to try and shift the onus away from them and find a way to blame Israel for that. This is a Hamas victory in the West Bank would be very difficult. It would mean the United States and others can't deal with them because they are a recognized terrorist organization.
Natanz, the suspect nuclear weapons program, supported by Natanz, set back by an act of undermining with explosives, a 22-foot wide crater, I think is what you reported. The Iranians are boasting something about Natanz at the Vienna talks. Is it significant what the Iranians say about Natanz, Malcolm?
It is indeed. First of all, they recognize it publicly. It would be hard to hide, but they have been talking about it very publicly. They even have charged an individual with responsibility. They claim he left an hour or the day before, earlier in the day before the actual explosion, and that he put some sort of a device or sabotaged the site. They put out a picture and a name and supposedly a red card from with Interpol, although the Interpol records do not show anything like it. And some people say the picture actually is more, seems to reflect more a composite picture that that was put together. So the discussions in Vienna are moving ahead. Some statements from Rouhani said that 60-70% complete. If the U.S., if the United States acts honestly, and they want step by step, meaning the United States removes sanctions, some in advance, and some that they would then respond to. The United States has been saying all along that they have to be in compliance, and then the United States would take the measures and make these concessions. Number one, they're saying that they restored the power to the Natanz facility in a limited way. Production is going on there. But more importantly, they say that they're at 60% enrichment, and it's been confirmed by the International Atomic Energy Agency, and that they will go back to 20%. They're supposed to be at 3.5%. So what they do is you keep raising, they keep raising the level so that if they make a compromise, they come back to a level that is still in itself a violation. And they are advancing the centrifuges. They have them working and a much larger stockpile than they're supposed to, all of which limits the breakout time increasingly so that they would be able to get to a bomb much faster. They are talking about setting up a third panel. There are two panels in Vienna operating. The meeting is supposed to take place this week. The Europeans are meeting without the U.S. present, but talking about additional steps that could be taken. The EU convened the group to meet as well. Didn't seem, they all say that progress was made. The United America's allies in the region, including Israel and some of the Arab countries, are very concerned that we're moving ahead fast and that we will provide again funding to them and give them the money that bails them out when their currency isn't collapsed, the economy isn't collapsed, and that their allies, their terrorist allies, are in dire need of funds, and that any kind of lifeline right now would be really counterproductive for the ultimate purposes of our allies and of the United States. The U.S. says that there's really been no breakthrough. They knew that this would be a process, and the EU people have said it needs a lot more hard work. Even some of the Russians have said it. But they're talking about sequencing, you know, the series of steps that would be taken next week. The head of Israel's intelligence agency and national security advisors are all coming to Washington, so we will see what they're able to work out. But, you know, there are a lot of messages coming out, and what is true and not true is hard to discern. I don't think they've made the progress that some Iranians are trying to indicate, but clearly the discussions are going on, and that the Iranians are submitting proposals on these issues and lifting sanctions.
Malcolm, why are the headlines that Saudi Arabia is looking for talks with Iran? What does that achieve?
So this is one of the mysteries of the current period, is to what degree these talks are really taking place. There clearly was some intervention. The Iraqis had offered to negotiate. The Iraqi ambassador, ambassador of Iraq was going to be the intermediary. The Iranians accepted that. And of course, you know, their role in Iraq would give them a great deal of leverage. The Saudis, on the one hand, deny that negotiations are taking place, but on the other hand, that meetings took place. One is to deal with Yemen. And I think that a lot of this has to do with the perception that the United States is diminishing its presence there, that they face, that Saudi Arabia and others face increasing challenges. Saudi Arabia would love to get out of Yemen. they can't as long as Houthis continue to attack and Iran continues to supply weapons. So perhaps there are talks about how to limit in that one area and also perhaps about security in the Gulf area. I don't think that Saudis are prepared to really negotiate much beyond that with the Iranians at this point. But the Iranians are very anxious to break out of their isolation. And I think, as I said, a lot of it has to do with the questions of perception of the U.S. presence there. We've seen statements by our allies about it and the reduction of the U.S. Presence. And they see in Yemen these more and more sophisticated weapons being used against them. And so the Saudis, I think, are looking for a way to at least contain that conflict.
We have about a minute, Malcolm, and you wanted to speak of your friend, Walter Mondale, who left us at 93.
I do, and I think it's a shame that more Americans don't know who he was. He was a supermensch. I knew him for decades as vice president, as a senator. You know, he replaced Hubert Humphrey, who was his mentor. He's one of the most decent and wonderful people, and he played a key role in fostering the ties between Israel and the United States, especially as a buffer between Jimmy Carter and Menachem Begin, who was then the prime minister. They didn't get along as well as Mondale did with him, with Begin. And this was one of the few areas where they actually differed. And he was somebody who interceded several times for us with the president when we thought policy was really going way off kilter. And he also broke with Carter about the selling of advanced bike aircraft to Saudi Arabia. You know, he ran for president against Ronald Reagan. He lost overwhelmingly because he was just such a real Midwesterner, quiet, decent. But he couldn't show that fire to take on Reagan at the height of his popularity. And he also played a key role advocating for Soviet Jewry, for human rights, for all groups. He was truly a great American and a great leader, and we should recognize him.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.